You're listening to Donuts and Top Cow.
Two great tastes that taste better together.
Happy Halloween from the Donuts and Top Cow podcast. My name is John Grigas.
And mine is Joshua Crawley.
And we're glad that you joined us today. We're going to talk about some pilot season. We're going to talk about some Top Cow news. First, though, we're going to talk about donuts. And we know it's fall because we've got pumpkin. These are homemade pumpkin donuts with maple icing.
So, so good.
And I guess I have Josh to thank for coming up with these because these were made especially for him.
They were. My friend Katie bakes lots of awesome, awesome, tasty foods. And I don't remember which one she mentioned at first. She'll like post stuff to Facebook. And, of course, people be like, oh, we want that. We lived by you. And I was like, hey, I could use some of those. And she brought them to me. I would say you can follow her on Twitter at KatieBot, KatieBot 5000. That's 5000. I don't know, whatever. How
Three
many?
Zeros.
Yeah, however many 5000 has. KatieBot 5000. And maybe if you follow her and ask her about her tasty baked goods, she would tweet more and maybe tweet some recipes.
Well, that's a good call. I'm going to do that today, actually. So I'm going to beat, if you're listening to the show, I'm going to beat you to it. But join along. What's fun is that over the next week, it would be great if she can get a bunch of people following her and have no idea why all these people are following her all of a sudden.
That would be awesome.
That would be awesome. And she made them for an event that took place in Josh's store on Saturday with a big Top Cow connection. We're able to meet with Phil Hester, who you brought in for a signing, Josh.
Yes, his second signing here, actually.
And that was great. It was nice to talk to Phil. I got a commission from Phil of Darkness, and he just did a sweet job on it. I'm going to scan this today or tomorrow and put it up on our Facebook page, but it is awesome. It's Jackie Estacado in his full Darkness incarnation, kind of surfing on some Darklings. Really, really nice, really great piece. I'm going to scan that and put it up on our Facebook page. So check that out. Another good thing about Facebook. You know, I don't spend much time at all on Facebook, but when I do, they seem to result in, you know, treats or some cool stuff to see. So this
yeah.
is good for us.
I spend probably too much time on Facebook, but I know it, and knowing's half the battle.
Yeah, that's right. So I hope you get over to our page to check us out. We're Donuts and Top Cow, D-O-U-G-H-N-U-T-S, and Top Cow. If you listen to this show, you may be already following us. If you don't, please go on over, and you can hit the like button and check it out. You could probably check it out without hitting the like button, too, because we would we'd like to just have you over there.
Facebook gets goofy with that. I don't know. And real quick, I have to apologize because I'm pretty sure Phil didn't get one of the tasty, tasty pumpkin donuts with maple frosting.
That's probably true, although I did tweet out to Phil if he was going to choose a donut, what would he get? And he picked a really crisp fried crisper of just a plain donut. So okay. I went down to Miller & Sons in Verona, which is basically, it's like an old lady bakery. Everybody who's worked there has worked there for the last 40 years. And they make these, they call them fryers, even though they're donuts, but you go and you get them, they're fryers, so it's like the perfect call. So we got a bunch of plain donuts, and Phil was able to take some of that. But it was fun talking to Phil. He had a lot to say about Top Cow, a lot of which we're going to save because he will return sometime in the spring and we'll get him on the show. He really just was too busy and had too much going on during the signing. And then he had to skate town and go back home. He lives about 4 hours from here, so he took off, and we weren't able to have him on. One of the questions I had was, I'll bring that up later, I guess. Another question I had was about his work on Broken Trinity. And he gets art credit along with Stefan Sejic. And if you look at those issues, it's totally Stefan Sejic's art. So I wondered, well, how do I see the Phil Hester collaboration in this? And I thought that was pretty interesting. We definitely will talk with him more about that when he's on. But it's the way he described it. He did 6x8 storyboarding of the storytelling. So he did the layouts, and then Stefan took it from there off of Phil's layouts. So that was kind of interesting. We talked a little bit also about Phil leaving the darkness, and he was very complimentary about Top Cow. He emphasized that it was his idea that he wanted to leave at issue 100, and that Top Cow was terrific about it. And that gets us over to some Top Cow news from New York Comic Con a couple of weeks ago, and that finally we have it announced as the new writer of The Darkness will be David Hein coming on following Phil Hester.
Finally officially announced.
Finally officially announced. So, any quick reaction to David Hein coming on as the Darkness author?
I enjoyed Darkness Four Horsemen, which he did with... I'm blanking on his name now. I feel horrible now. Jeff Wamester.
Yeah, I liked that mini. That was a good one.
I don't think I actually finished it, though. I should do that. But I enjoyed it, so I see no reason why I wouldn't continue to enjoy it. And... some pretty Jeremy Hahn artwork to go along with it.
And something that's kind of, you know, another non-spoilery thing about it is at the panel that they had at New York City Comic Con, they talked about how, well, it's a direct quote, actually. The entire universe is gone and I have to follow up from Phil Hester. So there's a little bit of pressure there, but I think we're going to come up with something a little bit different, and I hope it excites readers as much as it's exciting us. So...
Whoa, the whole universe is gone?
Right, that's what it's saying. And that's a direct quote. The entire universe is gone.
Interesting.
So maybe the survivor is not the bad guy. Maybe he's the one we should be rooting for all along?
Maybe. Wait, have we talked about that issue yet?
Which one?
Artifacts 10. Artifacts,
yeah.
We did?
Yeah.
Really?
That's unfortunately how long it's been since it was released.
Wow.
But 11 was, I know it was slated by Diamond to ship last week, but now it's on Top Cow scheduled to ship next week, November 3rd or 2nd. So looking forward to reading that.
Yeah, but you know what we get this week? Magdalena.
Right.
One True Cross Part 1, and it is awesome.
Looking forward to that.
If people aren't reading that book, they should be.
Yeah, that's
cool. I actually don't want to hear from listeners anymore unless they are... currently reading Magdalena. It's the new rule.
The gauntlet's been thrown, and it's, you know what, it's a rule that's in your best interest. It's kind of like an apple a day.
Yeah.
It's really one of those things that's going to enhance and improve your life if you read Magdalena. Nelson Blake II and Ron Mars collaborate on that, and it's definitely Ron's.
Yeah, I was going to say Dave Marquez is helping out with art too. He did some stuff back before Kucha. Did that two issues to kind of help get the book back on schedule. So no, it's kind of a collab. I don't know how the collaboration works, except that, well, I didn't notice it reading the new issue. Like the previous issue they worked on together, you could kind of see where the art shifted. I think it was less noticeable this issue.
Mm-hmm.
But Marquez kind of has a similar style to the collaboration of Nelson and Sal Regla on inks. So,
yeah,
and with Dave McKeag tying it all together.
It's really among the best stuff coming out. I'd have to say, as much as I like Magdalena, boy, and I do, it's right up there, but I have to put it right behind the current Outer Darkness storyline and The Darkness for me personally, because I'm really liking that. I'm liking that storyline in The Darkness, but Magdalena's right there.
I'm behind on Darkness right now, but though I can see that too, because Outer Darkness is kind of this culmination leading into the final gauntlet.
Yeah, it was really...
before the entire universe is gone.
And the seeds were laid accursed trades. There's four of those, and then it's really led up well to this. So the whole Phil Hester run... You know, the Phil Hester run on the Darkness is right up there with the Ron Mars run on the Witchblade, I think. It's really done some great stuff. So I hope you're reading all of those. So we talked about the existing books. One of the other big focuses of the New York City Comic-Con panel was the pilot season books coming out. We're going to take a quick look at two that have come out already. There's a third one coming out today, which is The Beauty, as of the day that we're recording this. So I haven't read it yet. I haven't picked it up yet, but I will be. And that one's by Jeremy Hahn and Jason A. Hurley. So that'll be interesting. But we do have two that have been released already, The Test and City of Refuge. And we'll take a little walk through those two. The Test was the first pilot season book to come out this with this 2011 pilot season. It was created by Matt Hawkins, so you've got some pretty high-level creator as far as a Top Cow company goes. And then the writer for the story was Joshua Hale-Fialkov. Rashan Ekedal did the art, so it's another team-up from the team that brought us Echoes. And then the colorist was Brian Reber. Letters, of course, by Troy Petrie. And I thought Rashan's art was better.
Before we get any further, it's created by Matt Hawkins and Josh Fialkov.
Oh, okay. Well, I apologize to Josh for that.
Yeah, you better.
So they collaborated on it.
Credit where it's due.
Yes, sir. So the story is where somebody basically, I kind of like how he eased into the story, because your main character wakes up, doesn't know where he is, things are familiar but not familiar, walks out into a really controlled community, everything's clean and glistening, and people come out basically in the same state of confusion. And it's generally a story where there's a group of people who are in a controlled environment, not sure really why they're there, and then they start to discover some of the different things around. The implication is it's a post-apocalyptic arrangement. And there's either technology or somebody behind the whole initiative that are controlling these things. But it also, there are a couple panels in there that show you that everything isn't exactly what you see on face value. As some of the memories of these people start coming back, there's some more grim circumstances that put them there. But I thought the artwork was improved by the coloring over what I saw in Echoes. The artwork in Echoes was skillful. It didn't really connect with me. This was a little bit better being colored, I thought.
I don't want to say it's better. It's easier to follow, but, you know, I mean, one was black and white, one was color, and, you know, I mean, when we talked about Echoes, I mentioned how the grayscaling just didn't work for me. It wasn't, there wasn't enough contrast to it. I like the artwork. There's people in underwear. They're in a dome. They don't know what's going on. I would definitely read more of this.
Yeah, I would. So far, right out of the bat, I would continue the story.
Like, it does a good shot. Does a good job of being kind of that one shot that's enticing you with more. The concept is enough to make you go, huh, what's going on? Artwork was good. Far, far better than I could ever hope to do.
Yeah. So good first issue out of the gate on the whole pilot season. And I think that's continued in City of Refuge as well. So I'm really excited about pilot season now. I'd love to see, you know, there's 8 books coming out. I'd love to see them to be 8 really strong books that are going to be really hard to decide. Although that's kind of a mixed blessing we can talk about in a little bit. The second week of pilot season, City of Refuge came out. And this was created and written by Morgan Davis Fowl. And the artwork is by Dennis Calero. Letters by Troy Petrie. And this also is kind of a post-apocalyptic story, although it's a community that we would recognize, a modern American city. And the storyline is that everybody has their emotions controlled. There's a microchip in every citizen's head. and you can only reproduce at a certain age, and if you're, they do severe population control, so you need to be selected in order to have a child. You're put into a state of, I guess, bliss at all times. You might not be super happy, but you're definitely nonviolent, so it puts you in a passive mode with this chip. And the law enforcement, they take a drug that lasts about 12 hours that turns that the effects of that chip off. So you have your full range of emotions over that time you're medicated, and then while you're medicated, you can be in law enforcement. So it's kind of a be careful what you wish for, because it's a crime-free society, supposedly. But it does show some of the inner struggles that people go through being so controlled and emotion. They're not emotionless, but having their emotions suppressed to a degree.
The peaks are gone. There's no peaks and valleys. It's just kind of monotonous.
That's a good way to put it.
I had an issue with this. It has nothing to do with the actual scripting nor the artwork. It was the concept. I cannot suspend enough belief to buy into everyone's being given this drug. Do they even talk about how they give it to everyone?
Well, everybody has the microchip.
The drug is what
knocks it out. So
yeah, if everyone has this microchip and everyone's generally, so it's so easy for them to control them, I don't understand why the cops need a drug to inhibit their microchip in order to do their job. The only instance we see why it's even needed is when someone else gets the drug.
Right.
It doesn't work for me.
Yeah, that's an interesting thought. And then if you... Yeah, because why would you even have to produce the drug if everybody is compliant like they are expected to be?
Yeah. And the only way we've seen to be uncompliant is to get your hands on the drug.
Right.
If that's all it takes, don't make the drug. Everyone's compliant. You don't need the drug. The only reason I can see in this issue, concept-wise, to need the drug is so that someone can get their hands on it to not be compliant.
Yeah.
It's a setup that doesn't work at all for me. And, yeah. Like, really bad. Like, I stopped. Well, I ended up. I shouldn't say I stopped reading it. I had to stop reading it, because I was reading it in work and I had to help a customer. It was like 2 days later when I realized, oh, that's right, I didn't finish that. And I finished it because I knew we were going to talk about it. And, I mean, it's drawn pretty. The scripting's nice. I just,
So well-crafted, but the story doesn't work for you.
Not in the slightest.
And I thought the writing was really good, and I thought the artwork was serviceable. It's not my favorite style. It's kind of a photo-referenced style of artwork, but it's kind of like the next level toward realism than the type of artwork Roshan Ekdahl is drawing. And my only issue was, on a couple panels, one thing I don't really like is when there's one panel later in the book, about two-thirds through, where somebody is under, basically he's under gunfire, not under gunfire, but somebody's holding a gun to his head, and he's talking him through it and talking him out of it. And there's three panels where the person is in the same position with the same expression, and it almost looks like a photograph produced three times over. And even though the first panel is slightly angled differently, it's too Andy Warhol-ish, I guess. It looks too repetitive, and I'd have rather had a little more adjustment to the angle or the expression on the character's face. But I mean, we're talking about nitpicking here. It's still a good job, and the storytelling is fine by the artist, and there's some good action scenes. But
it does look like a photo, you know, a photostat where it's just, you know, Xerox three times. Though, unlike when many people do it, in this case, it's as if the camera is zooming in, so we don't just get...
Yeah, I see that. Mm-hmm.
The exact same, but also a lot of times people will take it to such an extreme that you can tell just how much of a copy it is, because they'll go from, you know, they'll zoom in from, say, a medium shot to a close-up shot. And there's no change to the line weights or anything. Here, it's small enough that you're not, it's not easy to pick up on, oh, hey, look, that's the exact same line, only reduced by 50%.
Right.
It's a much smaller increase, so it doesn't stick out quite as much.
Yeah, I see that. And like I say, it's not terrible, because it really only popped out to me after I read it for the third time, so it wasn't like it's distracting, but it's just something to point out that, you know.
See, and I don't think I noticed it at all until you pointed it out.
So there you go. So I apologize to Dennis Calero, because now anybody who listens to this show will notice it if you see it. But generally, I thought, again, kind of like what Josh said, I thought it was a good book. I would read the second one if a second one would come out, but I, as it stands right now, I'd say that The Test is the leader in the clubhouse as far as getting my pilot season vote.
Yeah.
But both good, and it's great that this quality of, you know, try me first issues are coming out, because that's kind of fun. You do see a lot of the companies do the dollar, the reprint of the number one issue for a buck, and it's fun to read those. But it's even better, I think, to get new content that way, that we can, you know, try before you commit, kind of thing. And I like that. And so I have a love hate now. Just moving on to the pilot season idea in the to begin with, I have a love hate with the concept. I like the trying them out so that I know which one I want to read. But I don't like it when the book that I'm interested in doesn't get greenlit. So it's kind of like, I've invested this, I want to see, you know, number two, and then, oh, well, you know, maybe it'll show up later because the creator retains the ownership rights. But I don't know. It's kind of, you know, I'm investing a lot by reading a first issue, especially when I look at the stack of reading that I've got anyway.
I think it's easier not to invest as much from a reader standpoint, but I think the investment of work needs to be much more top-notch from creators then, because you literally only have one issue to get people on your side. It's not I'm going to buy the first two or three issues. It's, you have to get that person in that one issue, or, yeah. And even if you do, someone else might do it better.
Yeah.
Which is probably my problem with it, is that, you know, especially this go around, there's 8 books. Well, that's a lot of books. Previous years, it was like 5.
Yeah, 4 or 5. 5, I think.
I think there was usually 2 winners. I mean, there's 8 now. Have they said how many?
I haven't seen. I thought it was just one goes on, but we can look more into that. Because and you think it's $3.99 for 8 issues, and I'm not just trying to trim my budget all the time, but it is a limited budget. So now here's, and I'm happy to read them. I guess I like I did pick up the recent pilot season trade that came out. I guess I'd rather buy a $12 trade that had 6 issues in it than, you know, $3.99 books over. But I'm like contradicting myself. I do like the fact that they're releasing one a week instead of, okay, here's the 4 pilot season books. So it's kind of nice to spread it out a little bit too.
See, and I haven't liked the spread out aspect of it, because it seems like there are too many ways where some books end up on uneven footing in something where it's supposed to be read all of these and decide.
Yeah, that's true. So, you know, you wonder, how does timing affect your impression of the book?
And because I want to say the third week, the week 3 book didn't come out. Like, there was an off week, I guess last Wednesday.
Right.
But, yeah. And at this point, you know, I mean, I don't know where I was going with that. But, yeah, I don't think it's a perfect system, but I do.
Well, it's fun.
I'm glad it's there.
And I am too. I like the interactive part of it. The fact that we can give some immediate feedback about these books, and it helps decide what's going to move forward and what's going to go back on the shelf for a while. So,
I really want Genius to come out.
I was just thinking the same thing. We're waiting on Genius.
I've been thinking about it for a few minutes now. Afua's artwork is so awesome.
Yeah, that's going to
so
be
bad.
That's going to be a good one. I know that the creators involved with that have a lot on their plate, so it's just a matter of getting it all moving forward, but we're still in. Whenever it ships, if it's 2012, 2013, we'll still buy
it. I'm being patient, but I really, really want it.
So that's our first look at pilot season. I hope you're on with us. I would guess that you could find both of these books in most of your shops still.
I believe both are still available from Diamond, because I know I had to place a reorder for the test. I haven't sold out A City of Refuge yet. So
if your retailer doesn't have it, they should be able to get it from Diamond. It's worth it. I do know that Top Cow has also put these up on their various online sites for purchasing the digital copies. So whichever way you prefer. I like the floppies myself, but just as long as you get to read it so that your vote can count, that's important. So one other little bit of news. As we mentioned, we're coming up on Halloween weekend. There's a couple of shows that Top Cow will be attending. One of them may be done by the time you listen to this. I'm not sure exactly when the show can get posted, but I know that they're going to be doing, there's a horror show in Los Angeles that they're going to have a presence at. But the one that you might have a chance to get to is November 5 and 6, and it's Kamikaze, C-O-M-I-K-A-Z-E, which is in L.A., and that's a little more of a horror pop culture kind of show, but Joshua Hale-Fialkov will be there. Rashan Ekadal will be there. Also, Brad Keene, who is one of the creators of Flesh Digger, which will be another pilot season book. And Chris Johnson, who did some pencil work on Artifacts 4. They'll be representing the Top Cow group. So if you're in the L.A. area, I hope you can find Kamikaze and smooth on over there, because that might be a fun way to pass your weekend, November 5 and 6.
And I think, is this weekend Long Island Comic Con?
Oh, that's it. It's Long Island, isn't it? I'll bet Top Cow's at Long Island.
Yeah. Though, by the time this goes out, people probably already decided if they're going. But maybe there will be some fun news we can discuss next time.
And we'd love, if you do go, think of shooting us an email. Our email is dtcpodcast@gmail.com. We'd love to hear your impressions. We'd love to hear who you spoke with, what you saw, if you learned anything. So anything you can share, that would be terrific. We need some field reporters. So if there's
got some cool artwork.
Yeah.
People.
Post it up. Post it up and link it to our Facebook page.
Oh. I don't know why this totally just popped in my head. At New York Comic Con, Jeremy Hahn. Yeah, see, how horrible is that? I forgot Jeremy's name. Did an awesome Witchblade from Jana O'Shea at Marvel. It was awesome. But, yeah. Maybe if I get bored, I will. And by bored, I mean have the time to remember to go find her Twitter feed so I can see that, so we can show people. But
yeah, maybe we can
badass.
Link to it. We'll try and link to it from our show notes page. If you didn't know, we have a show notes page, and it is at www.comicbooknoise.com/topcow, and we are part of the Comic Book Noise network of podcasts. We thank Derek for the work that he does to keep us all going. There's some great shows up there, but ours is at /topcow on that Comic Book Noise site, and we do some notes and links for every show, and we'll try and link to that Witchblade sketch. And then check out our Facebook to see the awesome Phil Hester Darkness sketch that we just got a hold of.
It is so badass.
It is great. So until then, have a great week.
Good journey.